John chapter 3. We have looked at the miracles of Christ in the book of John. Now we are looking at the encounters with Christ in the book of John. Last time we saw the woman at the well 2 weeks ago. Eric Brown was here last Sunday, did an excellent job. I appreciate the outpouring of support and love that you showed Eric, and those are always very good days for us. But today we are looking at a very familiar portion of Scripture in John chapter 3. Why don't you stand with me, please, as we honor God's Word and the reading of it. And the Bible says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master in Israel, and knoweth not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you of earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this familiar passage and your love shown to us. And I pray today we would see clearly the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ and celebrate in the truth that is ours, that our lives are changed through the power of what you've done for us. Bless this time in your word, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In John 1, we see the deity of Jesus Christ. It says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything that made that was made. And then in verse 14, it says, And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So obviously we know Jesus Christ, our Savior, is also the creator of the world. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So John 1 is the deity of Jesus Christ. In John chapter 2, we see the master of the elements who created the elements, changing the elements when he turned water into wine. And obviously the miracles of Christ all through the book of John. John chapter 3, now we see the Savior of the soul, the transformer of the human condition. Not only can he change water into wine, he can change an old wretch like myself and turn me into something that is perfect in the eyes of God. Now that's a miracle. Amen? Thank you for that. Jesus was working miracles, drawing crowds, speaking like no man ever spoke before. You know, people will talk. I don't know if you know this or not. It might be a surprise to you, but people will talk about things. They'll talk about the weather. They'll talk about sports. They'll talk about their job. They'll also talk about people. Be careful when you talk about people. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. The Jews had been waiting for their Messiah. Could this be the one? No doubt those conversations had taken place, because we see Nicodemus saying in John chapter 3, you see in verse 2, he says, The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi or Master, we know. He didn't say, I know. He said, we know. Who's the we? He's meeting with Christ all alone. But obviously he's representing other people that he has spoken to as they are talking. They're just trying to figure out just who this Jesus is. Just who is this person? And we certainly, if we'll be honest with one another, size people up, look them over. When I was younger, I'd size someone up to decide whether I thought I could take them or not in a fair fight. Those days are gone. Chances are you could lick me and beat me pretty easy. I'm getting old. But we all size people up and we look at folks one way or another. The Bible says that God looks on the outward, a man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. So you and I, we can't judge a person by how they look on the inside. Only God can do that. Quite frankly, we look at you on the outside and we make our assessment. It's a different message altogether, but I'll tell you, it's very important. We're not to be fakes, but it's very important how the outside looks, because that's what people see. And our testimony is who we are on the outside, and how we talk and how we act. What people see is very important. But obviously, the Jews, Nicodemus being one of them, Nicodemus happening to be a ruler as one of them, was talking about who Jesus was, and is he truly the Messiah? Is this the one that we are looking for? So we know. He says, for no man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him. In verse number 3, Jesus responds, verily, verily, just simply means truly, truly. I'm telling you the truth here. Jesus said, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Born again. Say that with me. Born again. Interesting term. I'm a follower of politics back in the 70s when Jimmy Carter was running for president. He was a born-again guy. That big term was running around. Everybody's born again, and folks were literally asking, were you born again? And obviously, born again was not in there, but that's a lost world trying to use Christian terms. They don't even know how to say them and, or use them and whatever. But everybody, back, it was the thing back then. Everybody's born again. They weren't. They were saying so. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I want you to go with me. I hope you have your Bible open. If you're using a pew Bible, you're on page 1117. And let's just very quickly go scan down through these verses that we have read. And he said you need to be born again. And Nicodemus says, how can a man when he's old be born again? And Jesus said, truly, I'm telling you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. Now, obviously, there is some controversy of what the water is talking about. Obviously, the Spirit is the Spirit of God. But the water can mean two things. A natural birth used to be old school referred to as a water birth, because obviously a woman breaks her water. It could absolutely be speaking of the natural birth. You can't be saved unless you've been born. I mean, that's not rocket science. If you're not here, you can't be saved. If you've never been born, if you've never breathed fresh air, breathed, is that a word? If you've never inhaled air, then you don't exist. So number one, you have to be born physically, and then you need to be born again. Also, the water can be the washing of the water by the word. You can't be saved apart from the word of God. Many times when Jesus is speaking, there's dual meanings going on. So I believe it's both. I believe you have to be born naturally, but you also need to be born spiritually through the power of the word of God. No person has ever been saved apart from the word of God. You have to be saved through God's word. It can't be done any other way. Buddha can't save you. Muhammad can't save you. Only God's word can save you. That's the power that it has that is like none other. So obviously, Jesus is saying you have to be born of water and of the Spirit. That which is born of, and he goes on to illustrate, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not, they say to thee, you must be born again. They talk about the weather. And then Nicodemus is saying, man, I'm having a hard time understanding this. How can this be? And Jesus goes on, he says, are you a master in Israel and you don't understand these things? He said, if you receive not our witness, and I tell you of earthly things and you believe not, how can you believe in spiritual things? And number one, our word, our faith, our trust, they have to believe what we say. If you're a known liar and you decide that you're going to start talking about Christ, you're wasting your time. Your word has to mean something. And we've gotten away from America today. I was raised, and my dad always pounded in us, your word is your bond. If you say so, you better back it up. Okay? Now, our word needs to mean something. God's word absolutely means something. And you and I, when we're quoting God's word, it would be helpful if we were known to be a person of integrity when we're quoting God's word. Amen? So obviously he said, I'm telling you these things. And then he goes on and he gives an illustration that I don't think we can just go by. He says in verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Page 195 in your pew Bible is Numbers 21, 4 through 9. I want to tell you a story very quickly. And obviously the Israelites, the Jews, were going through the wilderness. And in the book of Numbers, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, the book of Numbers, they were having a dry spell, if you will. The Israelites had a lot of them. And in verse number 4 of Numbers, chapter 21, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Ever been discouraged? Nobody here. Because of the way, discouraged because of the job, discouraged because of the wife, discouraged because of the... And there's a million reasons for discouragement. And they're out there and they're traveling in the desert. They had to go around Edom because they weren't allowed to go through Edom. It would have been shorter, but that wasn't an option. And they get discouraged in the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. I want to stop right here and say, no, they did not have bread that you'd slice. They didn't have Wonder Bread. There wasn't any of that there. They didn't go to the bread box and open it up, and there it is like you and I probably did this morning. But the reality of it is they had enough. Say that with me. They had enough. And I'm not trying to be mean this morning, but there's a good chance if you're here this morning, you have enough. God said he promised to supply our needs, not our wants. In America, we got a pile of wants, and we've decided that our wants are what our needs are, and you better supply them because I know my rights. Well, you know what? That's pathetic. And honestly, that was the attitude that they had in Numbers. God, what are you doing to us? This is pathetic. You drag us out here so that we don't get to have anything here. What do you do around here for fun? This place is pathetic. And God says, I'm going to reward you with that. And so he sent serpents to bite them, fiery serpents. I don't know about you, but I hate snakes. I mean, all snakes need to die. Folks have them for pets and all that stuff. You can't be serious. Stop it. If you've got a snake at home for a pet, you need to get saved, all right? Now, obviously, that's not Bible, but that's just me talking, just blowing hot air here, all right? I'm just fooling with you. But the reality is I hate snakes, and I don't understand anybody that likes them. And so God sent fiery serpents among them, and they started biting them, and they're dying. And they recognized that curse was from God. You know, I believe there are some curses going on in America today, and we have yet to recognize they're coming from God. And we'd do well if we'd wake up and see that. So the snakes come out, they start biting them. They start crying out to God. They say, we're sorry, we're sorry, we're complaining, we're sorry. And God told Moses to do a strange thing. He said, you take one of those fiery serpents and you make an image like it and you wrap it around a pole and you mount that pole and put it high up in the air so that when someone is bit by a serpent, if they can look and see the pole, then they will be saved. And so they did that. They made that image. And in John chapter 3, it's a reference to what happened in Numbers chapter 21 when they could look at the pole, and Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. So what happens is though they got snake bit, they could look at the pole, and a miracle would take place where the poison of that serpent no longer affected them because they looked at the pole and lived. And it's a great illustration of what happens when you and I look at Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if I be lifted up off the earth, I will draw all men unto me. And if we look at Christ risen on the cross, he has the power through only what God can do for you and I to recognize his perfect sacrifice on the cross. When we look at Christ and realize what he's done for us and believe in his sacrificial death on the cross, when that happens, the poison of sin that has bitten us and is killing us no longer has power over us and we can live forever. Now that's incredible. That's the power of the gospel, and that's what Jesus is referring to in John chapter 3, and obviously he's referencing that he said in John chapter 12, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. And so what is Jesus telling Nicodemus as we've gone very quickly over this? Three things very quickly, and I'll close. Number one, salvation changes who you are. Number two, salvation changes what you see. And number three, salvation changes what you do. Number one, salvation changes who you are. Ye must be born again. Say that with me. Ye must be born again. Now, there's a mom in church this morning that just a week ago had a brand new baby. And I'll tell you, there's something miraculous about birth. And you've heard me say this until you're tired of me hearing it, but I'll tell you what, I don't see how anyone cannot believe in God and see the birth of a new baby. There's just really that Darwin and all his wisdom says this just evolves over billions of years. That a man and a woman can come together in love and marriage and in that union, those two people have the elements necessary with the gift of God to create life. And over a 9-month period, that slow growth process that an actual human being starts. We don't have time to get into this morning when the heart starts beating and all of the things and hands and fingernails grow and hair and stuff. It's absolutely amazing. But there's no God. Really? You can't be serious. And so that takes place. And what happens is just as incredible is that birth that is born. That baby that is born, and you look at that life, and oh my word. And I can never forget when Phil was born, the doctor said, "You want to hold your son?" "No." "Are you kidding?" I don't dare. And so it's just so it leaves me speechless when you think about all that takes place in a birth. And Jesus was saying that same exact thing about salvation. That when you come to Christ, coming to Christ is not a spa treatment, okay? I've seen the spa treatment. I see you ladies go in, and you get your nails done, and maybe you have tea in special cups, and you get your toenails done, and your hair, and then you can even go, and you could get a massage, and you could even have glamour shots when it's all done, because you look so awesome. You get these pictures, and I have a glamour shot of Lori in my office at home, and I love this stuff. I have no problem. Everybody ought to do it. If you can afford it, it's great. I've never had it done. I don't really care to have my nails done, although I don't know, but everybody loves to be pampered. But when it's all said and done, all they've done is they fixed up the old body. There's nothing new there. Salvation is not a spa treatment. It is a transformation. It's a regeneration. God makes something so brand new, so incredible, that it does not remind you of your old self at all. It is something totally different, a new person in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. And I'm telling you that when salvation gets you, when you trust Christ and it's real, it's not just some word you say, "God, I don't want to go to hell, so I'm trusting Christ. Come into my heart, be my Savior, forgive my sins. Now I want to go home and have a beer." That ain't cutting it, folks. There's a real change that takes place in your life where your friends start looking at you and saying, "You're not what you used to be." I've had folks tell me, "You're not as fun anymore." Well, their idea of fun's really strange. Going out getting drunk ain't fun. Not remembering what you did last night's not fun. That's strange. What's not strange is that a miracle can take place when you say, I believe in Jesus. I believe in that Christ on the cross. I believe that he took my place. I want to look at Christ risen from the dead. I want to take that Savior. I want that sacrificial death. I want it to be mine. Jesus, I trust you as my Savior. And I'm telling you, he plants something in you that starts to change you that you can't describe, you can't explain it, but you know that you're a new person in Christ. I was thinking about this, and let's just say, guys, I'm making this up. This is not an experience I'm having at home, all right? I'm making this up. But let's just say you dread going home. Let's just say that your wife is just nag, 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 and you're looking for something better, but you'd never do anything wrong, and so on this particular night, you go home from work, and you're just dreading whatever it's going to be because it never goes well. And you walk into this house that is just spit shine clean. And your wife is standing there dressed to the nines. And she's just gorgeous. And you haven't seen her like this since you got married. And she says to you, honey, I've been waiting for you all day. I've sent the kids to my mother's. It's just you and I. I've got your favorite meal planned. Mashed potato and gravy. Gravy is my favorite beverage, by the way. But anyway, I've got all this. And, to be honest with you, my first thought would be, as I'm making this story up, where's my wife? What happened? Somebody possessed her. And I'm telling you, as ridiculous as that sounds, people come to Christ, and the transformation that takes place, some people instantly lose their desire for alcohol, lose their desire for cigarettes. All of it is just gone instantly. Others, not so much. It's a slower process. But I want you to know, regardless, fast or slow, Christ changes you. You are born again. There is no part of the old life that looks like the new life. He transforms you and he makes you that new person in Christ. And I'm telling you, it is the most fantastic thing that anyone can experience. Not only do you get a great life in this life, you go to heaven afterwards. And I'm out of time. There's more to the message. But I've thought about this, and as a preacher of the gospel, as an evangelist at heart, one of the things that disturbs me the most about this great book that I get to carry and read, and about the life that I get to live, is that you and I will share our faith, and we'll talk to folks about this. And in one way or another, the best we can, we try to convey to them that they need to give their life to Christ. And it's a matter of trust and faith. And it does not get through to them. And Satan is a master at telling people that, oh, if you become a Christian, you're never going to have fun again. You're never going to have any, get to do the things that just you think are so important. Whatever lie he wants to say. Christians, I'll be honest with you, Christians don't smoke dope. We don't. I don't want to. I have no desire to. I wouldn't know how to roll a joint. A joint is something that's in your knee. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't chew. I don't run with women that do. And I'll tell you, folks, I'm just sharing these things with you because a life in Christ is exceptional. You give up nothing. Well, Sustain, I enjoy doing whatever it is. I'm telling you, God will change your want-tos into his want-tos. I haven't given up anything that I didn't want to give up. I get to do everything I want to do. But it starts by saying, I want what Christ wants me to want. And when you do that, I'm telling you, John 10:10 says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." Satan is lying to you. The Kim Kardashians of the world are lying to you. The Hugh Hefners of the world are lying to you. All of the people that will tell you, boy, you ought to just go out and get what you want because this is all there is, they are lying to you because there's something so much greater than this life. There's a life beyond this life, but it starts by choosing Christ in this life. And when that happens, when we leave here, that's when the fun begins. And I wouldn't care if I never laughed again in this life to follow Christ, if that's what was required, because when we leave this earth, it's forever. And he's promised us a paradise beyond our what? Nothing you can imagine could compare to whatever it is you think you've got around here. I've gone long, but I saw my neighbor die about 10 days ago. Never chose Christ, not interested in the least. Couldn't get him to at all. Just didn't care, didn't want it. Don't talk to me about that stuff. And he had bought into the lie that whatever he had was better than what you and I have. And I'll tell you what he had, honestly, wasn't much. And I'm not saying that to be critical. I'm saying it because my heart is broken that he chose poorly. And now he's got all eternity. It never stops. He's got all eternity to think about the conversations that we had that he wasn't interested in. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you that we can be born again. And Lord, I'm not what I should be, but I'm not what I was. I get to live for you. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But you said you come that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Lord, a life in you is not a step down, it's a step up. It's fantastic. I want the world to know that Jesus saves, he transforms, he changes, and he's free. All we have to do is believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from this pathetic life that we're living. Saved, spared, ready for a home in heaven with you. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here this morning, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. I'm not talking about a prayer that keeps you from hell. I'm talking about a transformed life that says, I want what Christ wants for me, and I choose it this morning. It's the greatest choice you could ever make. Maybe your desires and changes and wants will happen instantly. Maybe it'll be a long, slow process, but it's a process that is absolutely fantastic. But you've got to believe, and you've got to invite him in. He said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He's not coming in. You have to choose him. You have to ask him. The Bible says, if we'll confess with our heart the Lord Jesus and if we'll confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.